Luke chapter 16. If you don't have a Scofield Bible this morning, we want you to stand today, and we're going to read verse 19 through verse 31. We'll read verse 23 together today. Verse 23 we'll read together when we come to it today. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. We'll read verse 23 together. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and said, Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented.
Amen.
And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Thank you, may be seated. Our fathers, we come this morning, Lord, another Lord's Day. We thank you for the week, Lord, that is past, and Lord, the supplies and the blessings and the grace of God that help us each one, Lord, to get through another week. And fathers, we come this morning, we come to focus upon these verses that we've read out of the Word of God. And we just pray you bring to our remembrance and that you'd pull out of our heart today things old and new. And Lord, we pray today that, Lord, if there's someone here today that's lost and not ready to meet the Lord, I pray that they might be warned today from the words of Jesus. Those of us that are saved, Lord, and have escaped this place by the grace of God, may we be stirred, Lord, to do what we can, Lord, to warn others about this place. Lord, we pray that souls will be saved today. We pray that hearts will be stirred. And Lord, I pray you touch my own heart as I preach about, Lord, this scripture today. And Lord, we ask your blessings today to fall upon this service today. And may Jesus Christ get glory out of all that's said and done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
There's a record recorded for us in the Word of God of two men. Of course, one of them saved. We know that because the Bible tells us some things about him that could only be spoken about a person that was saved. The Bible said that when this beggar died, the Bible said the angels came and they carried him away unto Abraham's bosom, which was representative of that time of heaven, if you will. And this beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. We know also, because of the fact that the Lord said that that Lazarus was comforted now. He said he's in a place of comfort.
Amen.
That's every saved person that leaves this world, they go to a place of rest, a place of comfort, a place where the earthly trials and troubles are over with forevermore. And the more we live in this world, the more we realize that the Lord knew what He's talking about when He wrote the Bible.
Right.
And He said, man's days are few and they're full of trouble.
Amen.
And we find that to be true. Yes. So after we live in this life for a while, and we've had our share of trouble, many of our songs that we sing have reference to the fact that we'll leave our troubles and trials behind.
Amen.
We'll go to a place of rest. And so the record that's given of Lazarus, we know that somewhere down the way, somewhere down the road, that he made peace with God, and he was ready when his time came.
Amen.
But it's the other person that I want to preach about this morning, and we know also by the record left of him, that he died a lost man.
Amen.
And so what we have recorded here today, in these verses, verse 19 to verse 31, is we have a record today of a lost soul. And we don't have to worry about the facts of it being right, because Jesus spoke every word. And so it's all the words of Christ. If you have a red letter Bible, those words don't mean more than the black words, the black letter words. Somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, does them red letter words have more power than them black letter words? And I said, no, they're all the Word of God, and they're equal, but it just makes it easier for us to see the words that Jesus spoke. So let's look this morning at the record that God gives us here of this unsaved soul that died, the Bible tells us about. Now, the first thing I see about him, there's several things in the Scriptures, and let me just say right here before I get into it, that Luke was a physician. If you know the Bible, you know that. And oftentimes he traveled with Apostle Paul, and he referred to him even as that many times. And Luke was a physician.
Right.
It's been said that Luke is the preacher's gospel. And I could identify with that. There's more preaching, I think, that the preacher can easily adapt to and identify with in Luke than in any of the other gospels. But Luke, being a physician, he records some things that the others don't record. Of course, led of the Holy Ghost. But Luke records this here, and it's not in the other gospels. It's not in Matthew or Mark's gospel or John's gospel. But Luke, being a physician, he gives us some things, and even those things that are recorded in the other Gospels, Luke gives us some details that the other Gospels don't give. Like the man with the withered hand. Now, other Gospels tell us about that, but it's Luke, being a physician, he noticed and identified it was his right hand. It's Luke that gives us many times medical details. I think that's because Luke, being a physician, that God just used him more in that way, as he seemed to be interested in people that were sick. He was interested in how they lived, and he was interested in how they died physically, but also, as we see here, he was interested in their spiritual condition. So we see here, first of all, that the Bible said here in verse 19, there was a certain rich man. Do you see that in your Bible? It says there was a certain rich man. There was. That means he lived. A specific rich man, the Bible says. Now, the first thing I see about this man, and I know about this man, is the fact that this man was an unfaithful steward. He was an unfaithful steward in the things of God. Now, let me just, in case you hadn't noticed, that this follows on the heels of a teaching parable about stewardship. And then after he gives that parable on stewardship, then the Lord says, beware of mammon. And he says, for you can't serve God and mammon. You have to serve one or the other. And so when we look at this man, we know that he was a rich man. We don't know how rich he was, but the Bible just says he was a rich man. Now oftentimes we think, well, we can't identify with that. None of us here could identify with a rich man. Well, if you took us and placed us in a third world country, we could. Because compared to them, we would be rich. But when I look at this man this morning, the first thing I realize about him was that living, ever how long he lived, he never did really focus on what verse 11 talks about. The true riches. The true riches. You see, true riches are not houses and land and money and things of that nature. Though they, I suppose, are nice to have lots of it. But they're not the true riches. You see, we might say it this way this morning. Which would be the best to have? Of money to buy the biggest and the best and the tenderest and the juiciest steak in town, or to have the health to be able to eat it. You see, you can't buy the health, but you can the steak. We might say it this way, which would be the best to have? Would it be best today to be able to have good health today, to be able to live and move and have our being? Or to have all kinds of money to go to all the treatment centers and all the hospitals and all the places today to get help, though not to get healed. Amen. So you see, there's a difference between the true riches and the false riches.
Amen.
We might have a king-size bed with mattresses that adjust to our every movement. That would be wonderful to be able to afford the luxuries of life like that. But which would be better, to be able to have that or to be able to lay down in the floor and go to sleep and go to sleep and sleep all night? You see, sometimes we get out of focus on what the true riches really are. So I see this man. Now, he didn't know. I think he does now.
Yeah. Amen.
I think he knows now what really matters.
Yeah. Amen.
And what we're trying to do is focus in on it, remind ourselves before it's too late what really matters the most now. It's not the material things, but the spiritual things.
Yeah.
Let me say this. In verse 19 through verse 31, the Bible doesn't say anything about his tithes.
Right.
I'm talking about his stewardship,
right?
What I'm talking about. You say, well, it's a lost man. Most lost men don't tithe. No, and come to think of it, a lot of saved men don't.
Amen.
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 But this man, nothing said. You say, well, why would he? Well, over in the other places in the Bible, they were quick to remind the Lord, I tithe often, I fast, I've done all of this. And I'm sure when this man got in hell, if he had him, he'd have probably brought it up, but he didn't do it. And so we see that he was an unfaithful steward over what God gave him. Can I tell you this morning that whatever you have today, God gave it to you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It's all the Lord's.
Amen.
The Bible says it this way, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all God's.
Yes. Right.
If I said I knew that tithe belonged to the Lord, it all belongs
Amen.
To the Lord.
That's right.
We're not only to be a steward over the 10%, we're to be a steward over the 90%, as in how we invested and used those things. Then let me say this, there's the matter of how that, what little we're told, there's a matter of how he spent what he had.
Yeah.
Right. The Bible tells us here in verse 20, it said in verse 19 there, it said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day.
Yeah.
You're saying that don't tell us much. Well, that along with these other verses tells me this much, that what he had he spent on himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
The Bible said he spent it on food. He spent it on clothing. He was clothed in purple.
Right.
And purple was a very expensive material in Bible days, because it was made from a little thing that they would get the dye out of and make that purple dye, and it would have been some of the most expensive clothing that one could have had.
Right.
And so we see here that he was unfaithful over his stewardship. You know, one of these days we have to stand before God, and we have to give an account of ourselves. We have to give an account of what the Lord's given us and what we've done with it. You say, you're talking to lost people, ain't you? I'm talking lost and saved. We got to stand and give an account of our stewardship for the Lord. We'll be rough on us Americans. Because the Bible says, who much is given, much is required. So it's something to think about, isn't it? Then I see this in verse 42. It said, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, he was unfaithful in his stewardship.
Right.
How are we in our stewardship?
Right.
But we see here, and we no doubt about it, that he was unprepared in his soul.
Right.
Amen.
Because had he been prepared, the angels would have come and they would have taken him like they did Lazarus to Abraham's bosom.
Amen.
But we know by what's told us here that this man prepared for a lot of things.
Right.
He prepared for living.
Right.
He had the finest clothes. No doubt lived in a nice house. And the Bible doesn't say, but I'd almost guarantee you he had a super nice funeral. He had made preparations, no doubt, for his funeral. And I think you ought to make preparations for your funeral. I think you ought to lay back money or buy insurance and make preparations for your funeral. So one way you can get it the way you want. And the other way, you don't have to worry about somebody doing something when you don't want done. And the other thing is, it takes a large burden off your family. Amen. So I'm not against that. I think you ought to make preparations. And you say, well, the Lord's coming, isn't he? Well, we hope he is.
Yeah.
We believe he is.
Yeah.
We preach he is. But you know, you won't lose much if you go ahead and prepare for that.
Amen.
But he prepared for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Papa had wrote out how he wanted his funeral. I do that. I do that every year. I sit down right out because things change. People die. You may hear a new song you like or something like that, or you may come across something you won't read, and I think that's good to do that. And he probably did that. He made preparations for living.
Yeah.
And he might have even made some preparations for the death of his physical body.
Right.
But we know because of what Jesus said, he was not prepared to die.
Yeah,
amen.
He was not prepared to die.
Right.
Boy, people die a lot, don't they?
Right, Little Rick.
I mean, it's the... And you ever notice this? My mom gets the paper there, and not just her, but me and anybody else gets the paper. I notice the first thing they do is flip over to the obituaries,
right?
And they want to see if anybody's died that they know.
Right.
And then I don't know if you do this or not, but I always kind of, if I don't do anything else, I check the age.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
What age are you?
Right.
You know, if they're 9 or 95, I ain't got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
I got a while. If they're young, that bothers me.
Amen.
If they're little children, little babies, young people, that bothers me. But more and more, it seems like that, especially when you get midlife, you see more people dying of that age.
Amen.
Right.
I remember my grandmother saying something like this, my grandfather one day talking, and I was just listening. By the way, your kids listen to what you say.
Amen.
Amen.
And I remember them saying, you know, a lot of people die at 60. Between 60 and 70, a lot of people die.
Right.
My grandfather said, well, he said, seem like if you make it from 60 through 70, then you go on. and live a pretty good while. Well, they'd observe that. I had to check to see if that's right or not. But I'm just saying that this man had made preparations for a living. He had food, finances. He had all the things to live.
Yeah.
But he wasn't prepared to die.
Yeah, man.
Amen.
Wonder why.
Amen.
Wonder why.
Right.
All I got to go by is a record that's left me here. But first thing I thought about, I wonder if it's because of his family. Because the Bible said when he got in hell, he said, I've got five brothers at my father's house. If they're headed this way, somebody go tell them.
Right.
So let that be known that none of his family knew anything about God.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You say it's not important whether I go to church or not. This here proves it is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
You need to go to church. You need to go to the house of God. You need to take your children to Sunday school. You need to pray with them. You need to talk to them about the Word of God at home and lead them some out of the Word of God and live a godly life in front of them. Because here was a man that not one person in all the household was saved.
Amen.
Right.
He was because of his family.
Right.
I remember a fellow telling me this one time I was trying to witness to his lost son, and when he turned me away, then I turned to the dad, and I said, what about you? And he said, hey, he said, you're talking to him, that's his decision. He said, what I do ain't got nothing to do with him. I said, I beg to differ, sir. I said, probably what you do has a lot to do with him.
Right.
And probably if you don't think you need God, you don't get saved, he probably won't either.
Right.
And now they're both gone. I don't know if either one of them got saved or not. I hope they did, but I don't know that they did. But what I'm saying is, if you raise a family of hell raisers, you raise a family that denies God, you raise a family that never darkens the door of the house of God, you run the preacher down, you run the Bible down, you run everything down, just remember that you might have some family sitting there listening, after you're gone, they won't listen to nobody else, because they've been listening to you all their life.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe it was his family. I'd almost bet for sure it was his fortune.
Right.
The Bible said he was a rich man. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, I guess, to have money, to be rich. I'm not taking on you if you're rich this morning. I want to be your friend. But what I'm saying is, I believe there's people in hell.
Yeah.
Now listen to what I'm saying. I believe there's people in hell that had lots of money.
Yeah.
And their money sent them to hell.
Right.
And then they left it for their children.
Right.
And it sent them to hell.
Yeah.
And then if there was anything left of it, they left it for their grandchildren. And it sent them to hell.
Amen.
You say, what are you saying? Well, Jesus said that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't say they couldn't. And I have met some wonderful Christian millionaires that were great people of God. And they knew where it came from. And they knew what to do with it. And no doubt they'll have many rewards in heaven because of how they were a steward over the great riches that God gave them. But this wasn't the case of this man.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Rick.
You see, Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon.
That's right.
In other words, money can't be your God and God be your God.
Right.
It's got to be one or the other.
Amen. Amen.
He was unprepared. And then verse 20 tells me that not only that, but his failure. You say, what's verse 20 say? It said that Lazarus, the old beggar, the old saint beggar, that Lazarus was laid at his gate.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So, well, how did that make him a failure? God laid Lazarus right at his gate.
Right.
Right.
Just like the Lord puts a witness right in your life.
Right.
The Lord puts a church right on your street or in your neighborhood. God puts a preacher in your pathway. You see, He had a witness laying there every day.
Amen.
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 Why'd God lay that him there? Well, when he looked, if he'd seen hard at all about him, he saw a little beggar laying there.
Right.
You'd think, well, Boy, he sure got rough in life, and God sure blessed me. And I'm going to help him out. I'm going to give him something. And I tell you what, God's been so good to me, and I ain't never thanked him for it. And the goodness of God ought to have led him to repentance.
Amen.
Yeah. But he didn't do it. Amen. His failure to recognize the witness that God had put in his life.
Right.
How many people are in hell this morning that have messed their day of visitation?
Right.
Amen, brother.
God sent somebody by. I have been over 35 years. I believe, divinely sent to see certain people. God had sent me there. They were lost. They were going to hell. God dealt with their heart, but somehow or another they didn't recognize it. They turned me away and spurned the invitation of the Spirit. And today they're lost and in hell. Why? Because they failed to recognize the witness that God put in their life.
Amen.
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 Right.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
Amen. Yes, I always think about a fellow I went to see divinely led one night.
Bless him, Lord.
With their burden heavy. And I went in and they leave us in the living room. I'm sitting there talking to this gentleman about the Lord. He begins to weep and cry right in the middle of our conversation. I felt like that Brother Mike, as a soul winner, as a fisherman for Jesus, I felt like this just getting ready to set the hook. And about that time, his wife was mad and she stopped right between both of us and punched the television on and it come on blaring. And when she did, the Spirit of God departed and he said, "Not today, preacher." You say, "What'd she do?" She broke the line. He got back in.
Right.
Man.
Right.
They're fish for catfish. One thing they'll do just is you get them right up to the bank. They'll flop over. A lot of times, get away. You've got to be careful.
Yeah.
Dad's here this morning, been him fishing one morning. And he don't remember it, but he caught a catfish that long. He don't tell what it weighed because I was smaller. He started bringing it in. He got it right up to the bank, and I run in front of him. Him hollering, don't! I run in front of him, grabbed that line, went to pull it. That old fish, it flipped one time, went back into the water. The old man come out there and owned the pond, and he said, "Well, that's just as good. I don't let you keep no fish." Then he said, "If I caught that, I'd kept it." What I'm saying is. You really got to pray. You really got to watch and make sure that if you're lost today, make sure you don't miss your visitation. Don't miss your opportunity.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, brothers from God. That wreck just didn't happen in front of you.
Right.
That ambush just didn't happen to pull into your neighbor's house.
Right.
Amen. You see, God puts these things in our path because He's not willing any perish. He wants all to be saved.
Amen.
He wants all to come to repent.
Yeah.
And God is constantly witnessing to us and putting things in our lives.
Amen.
Right.
But this man was an unprepared soul because he had failed to prepare for death.
God help.
Are you prepared for that?
That's right.
I'm not talking about the death on this side. You need to prepare for that. You do prepare for that.
Yeah.
But more importantly still, are you prepared for the other side?
Yeah. Right.
There is another side.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if there isn't, why are you and I here this morning?
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Right.
If everybody goes to heaven, why are we wasting our time this morning?
Yeah.
Or as some say, if there is no heaven, there is no hell. Why are we putting good money in an offering plate and sitting here and taking up good time that we don't have to waste? If there is no heaven, there is no hell. But I tell you, on the authority of this book, the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus said there was a heaven, there was a hell.
Amen.
And He said you have to be prepared or you'll go to one or the other. If you're not prepared, you'll go to hell. If you are prepared, you'll go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Make the operation against that day.
Verse 24. I find out that he was not only unfaithful as a steward and unprepared in his soul, but he was unsatisfied in his senses. Luke 16:24, the Bible said he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame."
You just think about that.
Amen. His tongues are burning.
Yeah.
His tongue's on fire. His tongue is hot.
Amen.
It's interesting that James said, "Be not many masters, nor we shall receive a greater condemnation."
Mm-hmm.
Right. "If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle a whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth and will not turn it about. Behold, the ships, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they turneth about with such a small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth." The tongue, it says, "How great a matter a little fire kindleth." The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire in hell.
Yeah.
Every beast and bird and serpent and things in the sea have been tamed of man, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil part of deadly poison. Therewith blessed we God the Father, and cursed we men, made in the similitude of God, my brother, these things ought not so to be.
Yes,
I want you to know this morning the Bible said the tongue was a fire.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times he gives somebody a blistering,
yeah,
a blessing, yeah, out because,
yeah,
they talk to him about the Lord,
right,
or ask him if he was ready to meet,
yeah,
God, or handed them a tract, or slammed the door in their face, or said, "Get off of my property." I wonder how many times he took his tongue and he cut somebody.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times with his tongue he said no to God. "I don't need God. I'm not interested in, yeah, God." Is it any wonder this morning that, yeah, the Bible said he said, "My tongue's on fire."
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Rick.
Wow. Said Lazarus, put a drop of water on it.
Yeah.
We learn in school we have 5 senses. Not a single one of his senses is satisfied.
Right.
You say, "What do you mean?" Well, we know that seeing, our eyes, our vision is one of those things. And I can tell you, he's not satisfied with what he's seeing now.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Our hearing is one of those senses.
Yeah.
And I can promise you, he don't like what he's hearing.
Right.
The screams, the yelling, the gnashing of teeth, the anxious from Abraham. He's not satisfied with any of them.
Right.
Taste is one of those senses that he has tasted some of the most delicious food that money could supply this side of eternity. He's tasted the finest wines. He's been into the choice steaks. He's had the finest of food. But now all he can taste is the brimstone and the sulfuric that fills the air, and his tongue on fire, and the smell of smoke. No doubt he's not satisfied.
Amen. Amen.
And then smell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heard him play.
The Bible said it's a lake of fire. It will be one day. It's hell now, but it will be one day a lake of fire.
Right.
Somebody said that's not really fire, that's figurative.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is Jesus, he told this.
Yeah.
And we're trying to describe something that's, it's impossible to make whatever you're trying to describe as good or bad as what you're trying to describe. And I believe this is literal fire, like the Bible says.
Amen.
I mean, it's all on the news this week.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the world, that river of volcano that was running out and going, and they show pictures of it. Where did that come from? Down in the heart of the earth, the same place God said hell was.
Yes.
I don't know why anybody wouldn't believe in it. Because every time they open it up, it's falling smoke, it's hot lava.
Amen.
It's everything God said would be there.
Amen.
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 Right.
Amen, brother.
That's right. Think about that.
Amen. He's mentally tormented. You know, I think everybody's tormented to some degree, whether you got money or not. And now he's mentally tormented in every way. You say, why is he tormented? Verse 25, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth not good things."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to be mentally tormented.
Right.
I mean, he woke up in hell.
Yeah.
And he's got to remember.
Yeah.
All he's got to remember. Mm-hmm. And I believe this. I believe that when a person dies and goes to hell, as bad as they want to. Mm-hmm.
Right.
As bad as they don't want to remember Brother Rick.
Right.
As bad as they don't want to remember Brother Nathan or Brother Eddie or some soul winner or some family member pleading their case and crying for it. As bad as they don't want to remember that, they can't forget it.
Right.
You don't have to worry about nobody having Alzheimer's in hell.
Right.
You'll find out you'll have perfect memory there.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I remember.
Amen.
You don't want to remember them revival services.
Right.
You don't want to remember that Holy Ghost conviction.
No.
You don't remember driving home and feeling miserable.
Yeah.
You don't remember tossing at night, and sleepless at night, thinking about and listening to your own heartbeat and thinking you hope it don't stop because you know you'll go to hell.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Mentally tormented.
Yeah.
And then to think about his family heading the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
He's physically tormented in verse 24. He says, but now he's comforted and you're tormented.
Right.
He's physically tormented.
Amen.
My life for the last 35 years, every week, is to visit sick people.
Bless you, Lord.
Intensive care wards.
Bless you, preacher.
Hospitals, pain clinics. I see some pain.
Yeah.
You like to do it, Brother Rick? No, but it comes with the territory. That's right.
Right.
And a song. It's plenty of grief.
And I will tell you, I've seen some folks in awful physical torment.
Yeah.
But for all of them that's safe, it stops.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Death takes it away.
Yeah, thank you. Right.
The medication takes it away for a while.
Yeah.
An amputation takes it away. A surgery takes it away. But this man's in hell, Brother Bill.
Right.
And if I believe what it says, and I do, this man was in torment when Jesus spoke this and before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's still in torment today.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Forever and ever.
You know how we sometimes say, welcome home, son. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord.
Yeah.
You die and go to heaven, you enter into the joys evermore.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're not lost and go to hell, you enter into torment evermore.
Right.
He's mentally tormented. He's physically tormented. This record that's left us here, he's spiritually tormented. Verse 26, he said, besides this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed.
Yeah.
So that they would pass from this, you cannot.
Right.
That's spiritual torment. There's a separation there.
Right.
The separation there.
Uh-huh.
He's separated from his family. He's separated from his so-called friends. He's separated from all this. And can I tell you, he's even separated from God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Separated from his own body.
Right.
See, death, the second death. The Bible calls it the second death. The first death separates your body from your spirit.
Right.
But that second death, if you're lost, separates your soul from God.
Amen. 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 Right. Yeah.
Turn it off.
Right.
Let me say this. In verse 24, the Bible said to him, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And said, Lazarus, he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And then in verse 23, it said, in hell he lifted up his eyes. He's undeniable in his state.
Right.
You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Rick? Well, he may have been like so many in this life. They're in denial.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Talk to him till you're blue in the face. I'm all right, preacher. Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I know where I'm going. Me and Jesus got my own thing going.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, they might say, like some cults and others say, Well, there ain't no hell. Ain't no place called hell. God wouldn't make a hell.
Yeah.
There is no hell. Mm-hmm. You see, they deny, right?
Yeah.
But once they die,
Amen.
Once a person dies, they're in an undeniable state.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't deny hell when you're in it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You can say all your life there is no hell.
Yeah.
It's like going out with your eyes closed all your life and saying there ain't no sun. Just because you can't see it don't mean it ain't still out.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
In the Bible, one of the first things it tells us about this man was in hell he lifted up his eyes. He can't deny it no more.
Amen.
Calamity is it's too late. He's in there.
Right.
Right. Amen.
And then his confession. I'm sure if you went up and knocked on the door, he'd said, I'm all right. I'm an upstanding man in this community.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Mm.
Right.
I witnessed a guy up on the square one time. I won't call his name. Upstanding, so to speak. He was offended because I gave him one of them tracts with Jesus hanging on the cross that said, this I did for you.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
He said, do you know who I am?
Mm.
To be honest with you, no, I didn't. But as far as I was concerned, he's just a man needed the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
He's a man just needed the Lord.
Right.
But you see, folks, you can say it till you believe it yourself.
Life's right.
I'm all right. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. You can say that till you believe it yourself.
Yeah.
Amen. One thing's for sure. When that heart stops and them breasts quit, and we lift up our eyes in our eternal state, we can't deny it no more.
Right.
Amen.
Because if he was all right, he wouldn't be lifting his eyes in hell.
Amen.
He'd be laying in Abraham's bosom.
Right.
Amen.
The Bible, you say, friend, you're trying to make me doubt my salvation. No, I wouldn't do that for nothing. But I would try to make you examine yourself.
Yes. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Make sure you're in the faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Make sure you believe the gospel.
Yeah.
And the things the good word of God gives us to tell us that we can know we're saved, that you got them in your life this morning.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
If you don't, you'll be in an undeniable state when you get there.
Amen.
So this, and I'm done today. Look at verse 24 again. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. And then dropped down there to verse 27. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house. He's not only unfaithful as a steward. This man's record that we're given of Jesus, he was unprepared in his soul. He was unsatisfied in his senses. He's undeniable in his state.
Amen.
Yeah.
He was unanswered in his supplication.
Right.
You realize not one thing he asked for, he got.
Right. Amen.
He said, send Lazarus. He didn't get that.
Right.
Yep.
He said, give me a drop of water.
Right.
He didn't get that.
Right.
He said, send to this place is committed to my father's house. He didn't get that.
Right.
You say, what are you saying? I mean, of all he requested, not one thing did he get.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, you get everything you asked for in prayer. I know, but I get a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's a man asked for three things and didn't get none of
them. Right. Amen.
Right.
You say, why? You don't get prayers answered in hell.
Nope. That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He died. His record's like every lost soul that ever went to hell. Did you notice that Luke gives us two accounts of people dying like that? There's Lazarus and the rich man.
Yeah.
Lazarus saved, rich man lost. Jesus tells us about that.
Amen.
Then Luke gives us in Luke 23, he gives us the two thieves in Jesus. One thief lost. Other thief has a change of heart, repents, and gets saved.
Yeah.
He goes to paradise.
Yeah,
be with the Lord.
Amen.
Luke gives us two accounts like that. But all lost people, in any gospel, in any dispensation, all lost people end up just like this man ended up. You say, how'd he end up? Nameless.
Right.
He don't have no name, does he?
Right.
No name mentioned.
Amen.
Why, this man was known all over where he lived.
Yeah.
Man.
Jesus didn't know him.
Right.
And he won't know you either.
Right.
If you don't get saved.
Amen.
Because in Matthew 7:21, he said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. Have I not prophesied in your name? In thy name have I not cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful things. And Jesus would say, depart from me.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Amen.
Amen.
If he knows you this morning, he'll know you a million years from now.
Right.
But if he don't know you this morning in a born-again relationship, he won't know you a million years after you die.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
He's nameless.
Right.
He's homeless.
Yeah.
Heaven spoken of as a home.
Yeah.
I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Heaven spoken of as a place. Jesus said, I go to lay to what my Father's house. Prepare you a place.
That's right.
Amen.
We're not homeless.
Right.
We got a place to live.
Amen.
Jesus is going to fix this place to live for all eternity.
Amen.
We got a clear title to the mansion.
Heaven.
Termites came to harm its foundation.
That's right.
It's ours. He paid for it on the cross. We got an eternal home to go to.
Amen.
You, the land, I'm longing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
How beautiful heaven must be.
That's right.
Right. Looking for it.
But the lost person is spoken of in the Word of God is homeless.
Right.
Homeless. Homeless. Homeless.
Amen.
No place to really call their own. No place to rest.
Right.
No place where the family can gather and fellowship throughout the eternal ages. Homes.
Yeah. Right.
And can I say this? Friendless.
Yeah.
Friendless.
No party.
People get mad sometimes when you preach like this. Try to witness to them or talk to them. Sometimes they're friends. I've had fun interference and run in the front of them. You know, try to rescue them.
Yeah.
Rescue them from that god-awful preacher. Rescue them from that preacher's going to tell them about hell and Jesus. That ain't no friend.
Amen.
You know who your friend is? That one hands you the track, tells you the truth.
Dead man.
Yep.
Move to take your hand.
Yep.
Comes to the altar to pray with you.
Amen, Brother Rick.
That's your friend.
Yep.
Right.
Let me say this. His name is homeless, friendless. He's excuseless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you notice from verse 19 down to verse 31?
Yep.
It's not one excuse.
Yep. Right.
Not one. You know who I am? You know how much money I have on earth? You know I gave to the building fund. You know I gave to the community charity drive. I gave. I'm not that bad. I've been baptized.
Yeah.
I've been confirmed. I've been sprinkled.
Yeah.
Not one excuse.
Right.
You say why?
Without
it. People that go to hell don't really have an excuse.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Christ died for all of us.
Yeah.
Any of us can be saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Gotta come to the Lord. Believe His gospel. Believe what He said. Trust Him as our total and complete and only means of salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
No excuse.
Right.
People sometimes blame me for their condition. That'll work over here, but it won't work over there.
That's right.
Amen. Sometimes I hear people blame their wife. Oh, she made you dead. I hear them blame their parents. Oh, mama didn't drag me down to that old church house. I don't want to go. They say if I'm under their roof, as long as I'm there, I'm going to go to church. I don't like that old church. That Sunday school teacher gets on my nerves. I don't like old so-and-so. Give all of them you want here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But the record will stay over there.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
As it does in one of the places in the Gospels.
Yeah.
And they were speechless.
Right. Amen.
You lost today. What's your record going to say? Job said, the witness is in heaven, the record's on high.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, you got a record up there.
Right.
Did you know that everything that's wrote on your record, you told them to write?
That's right.
Because they're not writing anything, you don't tell them to write.
Amen.
Who remembers? And I'm glad one day on my record it was wrote.
Amen.
1964.
Yeah.
I got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
And the record will stand.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
I won't have to cross Jordan alone.
Amen.
Right.
Not afraid to cross that river.
Amen.
Amen.
I know in whom I have believed. I have persuaded you to keep it.
Amen.
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 Listen, what's on your record this morning?
Yeah.
You died today, God forbid. I hope you all live a long, meaningful, blessed life. And if you died today, what would your record say?
Yeah.
Would it be the record of a saved soul or the record of a lost soul?
Yes.
You're not saved today. You remember what I said? He failed to recognize his day of visitation.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
I still preach on hell.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I still believe
it.
Yes. Amen, brother.
Thank you, Lord.
I still preach on hell because I get under conviction if I don't.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want you to go there.
Amen.
Amen.
Say, preacher, just come down there. I don't know what to do. We'll take the Word of God and show you what God said to
him. Right.
He left an escape point.
Yeah, he
did. Right. He's waiting for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord willing, I'll check into a motel sometime this week. For sure, if they put me on the third, fourth, and the fifth floor, the first thing I'll do when I close the door and put my suitcase down, I'll go to the door and I'll look at that fire route, that escape plan. And everyone that I've ever seen, there may be others, but everyone I've ever seen, the plan is always outlined in red.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always leads to the door.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The escape plan 2,000 years ago
was
outlined in red on an old rugged cross.
That's right.
And it leads to the door.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you this morning. I feel satisfied in my heart that I've obeyed you and preached what you put on my heart today. Lord, that us that are saved, we need to be reminded of this so we'll be more, Lord, more concerned about people around us in our communities, in our homes, and in our lives every week. And do what we can, Lord, to ward them and be a witness, Lord, to them in this place.
Help, Lord.
Help them to point them to the way to escape it. Lord, those that are here today that are not saved, I hope you really touched their heart today. I hope, Lord, that you just pulled all the sap out of them. I hope this morning they're just so weak that, Lord, they might feel like they couldn't even make it to the altar. I hope the pains of hell just got a hold of them today, and, Lord, and they broke out in a sweat and nervous today. And that's what the psalmist, that's the kind of way he said he was. And it said, then I called on the Lord, and he heard me. Have your way, Lord. You died so people could get saved. I pray you'll get what you died for this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand today. You need to pray. You need to come. I urge you to do that this morning.
109.
Sing just one more verse today. And I've done my part. I hope you'll do yours today as we sing.
Sure, I didn't make it because I was on my way.
Amen.
I don't know who he stood between today, but I wish they'd let the Lord be saved. Oh, he's sure come this world to save old sinners like, oh, anyway, he'll save anyone. He'll let him. I appreciate him saving me.
Amen.
Amen.
I just thank the Lord for my salvation.
Amen.
In 1982, I was saved. And you raised your hand, you were not saved. You don't know if you're going to go out this door and breathe another breath. So you need to get saved. Don't put it off. Don't let your pride stand in the way. I beg you. I really beg you. And I know there's others begging you. Get saved.
Yes. Raising your hand don't save you.
Right.
Believing the gospel is what saves you.
Amen.
Right. Amen. All right, anybody else? Lay on their heart today. You don't want to leave now and you'd be miserable all evening.
Right.
Lord's dealt your heart. You may not even raise your hand. You say, man, I'm miserable. Something going on here today.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit convicting you.
Yes.
Get you to come today to the altar and trust the Lord.
Yes.
You want to come?
Yes.
You want to come this morning?
Brother Rick, I'd like to say something. I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me. Good to be back today. I've missed some weeks. And I walked into the Sunday school class this morning. We had 15 kids in that set, and you could hear their stories. It would break your heart.
Bless the Lord. Bless you.
And it's your sin of the day, and you're not.
Thank you for God.
Absolutely. Day's a day, now's a time.
Yeah.
All right. You go to the house this morning? Just push your way out there. They'll let you out. We'll meet you down here.
For such a time as this, I wish.
Brother Ricky, I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. And, you know, I thank you for the opportunity that I had to go with Sister Joanne out west. We went out there because her son had cancer and knew in advance, you know, that his time was close.
Right.
But before we ever got out there, his mother-in-law died suddenly, and she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness both of them were ready.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You may know, the doctors may have told you, yes, you've got this illness, and your time's short.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the son of this man that had the memorial, he stood up, and the first thing that he said was so true. He said that it is a statistically known fact that the number one cause of death is birth. So the day that you were born, you started to die.
Right.
And we have our doctor, our great physician has told us we are going to die.
Right.
And the people will listen to the earthly doctors,
right.
And we've read it and we know it. We just don't know the time.
Right.
And it could be today.
Right.
Let her speak. And you know, and just like everybody else has said, if you're here and you raise that hand,
mm-hmm.
He's giving you that opportunity because the Bible says today is the day. And when you walk out, you may never have another chance.
That's right. Amen.
And you've got one foot lingering over hell.
Mm-hmm.
Hot hell. I mean, you're just lingering there.
And
like you said, you're holding on right here, and you've got to take that step. I never will forget when I was lost. And I've asked the Lord for years to not ever let me forget that feeling
mm-hmm.
of fear,
right.
Of not knowing what to do, of messing up the whole thing, but it's just so simple.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All He wants you to do is say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner."
Amen.
Yes. And, you know, I just pray that whoever it is that's here, please don't leave in this same condition that you came in this house.
Amen. The older you get, the more you realize what else is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. I'll be glad to hang around and talk with anybody who needs to talk to somebody. I'll be glad to stay all evening when you need me to. You're here lost today. You need to get saved.
Yes.
All right, we're going to dismiss us by our heads for dismissal prayer today. I'm going to ask my son Scott if you need to dismiss.
Thank you for
that.
Thank you.